I'll be reading 1 Samuel, chapter 1, verses 21 to 28, page 271 in the Church Bibles. When Hannah, her husband Elkanah, went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, "After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always." "Do what seems best to you," her husband Elkanah told her. "Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word." So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, "Pardon me, my lord, as surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praising the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he shall be given over to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there.
Thank you, Alistair. Let me read to you verse 28 of that passage again, the final verse. I hope you've still got it open in front of you on page 272. This is Hannah speaking, and she says, "So now I give him, Samuel, the little baby that she's so longed for and been praying for. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he shall be given over to the Lord, and he worshipped the Lord there." Well, something caught my eye in the local press, and I decided to go and get one. And it's one of these. It's a £1 engagement ring. Yes, Poundland is selling engagement rings that cost £1. Now, admittedly, these rings are supposed to be sort of placeholders until you decide to take your beloved to the jewellery shop and buy the real thing. And I'm not saying that you need to give your fiancé, if you're about to get married, a £5 million diamond ring, as Jay-Z gave to Beyoncé, as you ask her hand in marriage. But how might she feel if you gave her a £1 ring? Now, if this was all that you got, and admittedly this is to lead you to the jewellery shop, you might be a little bit disappointed. Because surely there's a principle, isn't there, that a wonderful relationship demands a wonderful gift. We're looking today at this passage in 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we see an extravagant gift. We see a woman who's been longing for a child, and after much pain and hardship, at last she has her baby, and she gives him in this passage to the Lord. And I think if this, forget this little analogy, but a wonderful relationship demands a wonderful gift. And as we look at Hannah's gift of Samuel, giving him back to the Lord, we see something of the wonder of her relationship with her God. And that's what we're going to look at today. So we're going to just look at three things today. There's the ring. Close up, if you want to come and have a look at afterwards, please do. We're going to look at an extraordinary act of devotion. We're going to look at this gift. We're going to examine the gift. It's not a bling ring, as these things are called. This is a deep act of devotion. And then we're going to think of that relationship that lay behind it. We're going to see what Hannah had seen about God that that enabled her to make this gift of devotion. And then we're going to ask a question to ourselves as well about whether we've seen what God is really like. So let's look at this, first of all, this act of extraordinary devotion. And maybe you've never read this passage before, you found it a little bit surprising, you're trying to figure out what's going on. Well, let me just give you a bit of a recap. So we're 1,000 years before the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the time frame that we're in. It's really the time of the Judges, which is a period of complete mayhem and turmoil in the history of God's people. And what we need is a good leader. If you felt that Brexit has been a little bit confusing, well, that's nothing compared to this. This is a time of complete turmoil in the history of the people. And God is beginning something new. And as God often does, he starts with the most unpromising of circumstances. He starts with a woman who can't have a child. The child that's going to be born will come on to become a very important child. The priest, the prophet Samuel, who's going to anoint King David in due course. So this isn't just a little story about one woman having her prayers answered and giving rise to a boy called Samuel. That's why we mustn't compare Samuel too much with little Joshua. Samuel is a unique baby, and he's going to bring about a great turnaround for God's people. He's going to bring about great leadership for the people of God. But what's happened so far is that she's been pouring out her heart to God. And she says, if you would like to look back to verse 11, she makes a vow. And we decided last week, we didn't think this was Hannah bargaining with God, but rather because of her absolute devotion to the Lord, she was overwhelmed. She was just willing to give him back to the Lord. She made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. I'll explain that just in a moment. Can I show you how extraordinary this gift was? It's an act of deep devotion. That's the first thing. It's a deep gift. Why do I say that? Just have a look at the first verses in our section today. Verse 21, when her husband Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice, each year they would go up to Shiloh, where the tent that symbolized God's presence was based. They went from Ramah in the hill country up to Shiloh. When her husband Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, he's got a vow that he's making as well, Hannah did not go. Now that's a bit of a problem, because Hannah has just said that she was going to bring her baby son to the Lord and devote him to the Lord. On the surface, it looks like here is a woman who's not going to keep her promise. But in the book of 1 Samuel, we should never get confused between the surface and what's going on in the depths underneath. We saw last time, we saw a woman who appeared drunk on the outside, but actually underneath she was deeply devoted to the Lord. So don't look at the surface, but look at the depths. It doesn't really matter what people think about you. It doesn't really matter on the outside what people think. What matters is what you do for the Lord. When her husband Elkanah went with all his family to offer the sacrifice, she didn't go. But underneath, this is what's happening. She said to her husband, after the boy is weaned, that makes sense. She's not going to be able to give her child to serve God in the temple, in the tabernacle, until he's fully strong enough. And in those days, weaning happened a bit later than it does today. After the boy is weaned, when he's on solids, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will always live there. It was a deep gift, a deep act of devotion. It was a lasting act of devotion, because have a look at verse 22 again. After the boy's weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Now, let me just explain a bit about this Nazirite vow. It's a bit strange to us because this is nothing that sort of happens today. But what happened in the Old Testament, and in fact in the New Testament, because Paul did this at one point, was that you would make a vow and there would be three sort of conditions imposed on you. Number one, you couldn't drink alcohol. Number two, you couldn't cut your hair. And number three, you couldn't go anywhere near a dead body. It was an act of devotion to the Lord. Hannah was saying that this boy was going to be given back to God, because he was given to her in the first place, given back to God as a special act of devotion, we might say consecration, wholeheartedness. This boy was going to be serving God in his presence. After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Always. Doesn't even say until he dies. He will live there always. This was a permanent gift. It's like praying for something, I don't know, a job, and then giving your first pay packet to the Lord. You've prayed for it all this time and then giving it. But Hannah's not just doing her first installment. She's giving her son completely back to the Lord for all time. She'll be able to go there and see him once a year. But this is a lasting gift to the Lord. And it was a particularly costly gift, because she wouldn't even be able to go and see him. Sorry, he wouldn't even be able to come to her funeral, because he's not allowed to be in the presence of a dead body. So it's a costly, lasting, and deep gift. There's a few more hints as to how costly it was in verse 24. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, as young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, that's a measure of the finest flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. Elkanah and Hannah are soon going to see these things appearing on their credit card statement. These are quite significant gifts, and the scholars tell us that this might even be three times what was needed for a sacrifice. Samuel is going to be given up to the Lord. Now, he, like you and like me, are full of sin, and we need our sins to be forgiven, which is why a sacrifice had to be made. But it's almost as if Hannah is going out of her way to give triply what she could give. And let me show you one more phrase which shows just how costly this gift was. It's just tucked in there in verse 24, and we could easily miss it. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was. Now, I think that Alice and John have got some friends here from the NCT, the National Childbirth Trust, and maybe you've done some research on the NCT website about when weaning should begin and end. I looked it up this week, and apparently they recommend that you start moving from breastfeeding or from milk onto solids at around 6 months, and that process might finish by about 2 years. Now, in the culture back then, this might have happened quite a lot later. So this young boy who's being given over to the Lord might have been as old as 4 or 5. Now, it's a bit strange that a 4 or 5-year-old to us might be still drinking his mother's milk. We had friends in Cambridge that did this as their friends went off to primary school still, but that's too much information, so we won't go there. But actually, 4 or 5, he could be 4 or 5 years old, but he's still young. Now, when we took Katie and Lucy to the first day of primary school, the whole family was crying. And that was just for one day. This is like a combination of boarding school, church, youth camp, and an apprenticeship rolled into one. And Hannah is saying goodbye to her son permanently to give him to the Lord. Now, just before we move on to what was going through her mind, what enabled her to be so generous in this gift, we need to remember, as I've said, that Samuel is a unique baby, and we mustn't just substitute ourselves into this story. He is the baby who's going to grow into the great leader, who's going to bring about the great leader, King David, who's going to point forward to the greatest leader, Jesus Christ. There's a uniqueness about Samuel in here. But perhaps there's just a reflection of a lesson for us that we should be willing to give even the most precious of things back to the one who's already given them to us in the first place. Let me introduce you to a long-bearded friend, John Peyton. And he lived, as you can see, over 100 years ago. And when he was born, back in 1824 in Scotland, his parents decided that, as it were, in prayer, they were going to dedicate his life to the Lord. This is what they said to him many years later on. And the situation is that he became a minister. He was working in a church, but he decided to stop being a minister and become a missionary. And he went out, he was planning to go out to the Pacific Islands of what we call Vanuatu, the New Hebrides. And everyone was criticizing him, saying, why are you leaving Scotland to go to the Outer Hebrides? You'll be eaten by cannibals. And actually, that's what happened on those islands. Well, this is what his father said to him, and he hadn't told him this before. When you were born, your father and mother laid you upon the altar, their firstborn, to be consecrated, dedicated, if God saw fit, as a missionary of the cross. And it has been their constant prayer that you might be prepared, qualified, and led to this very decision. And we pray with all our heart that the Lord may accept this offering, spare you, in other words, that he wouldn't lose his life until that point, and give you many souls from the heathen world for your hire. He's talking about how they were longing that people from the Pacific Islands would come to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. Samuel was unique, but perhaps there's a reflection there, perhaps particularly for us parents, of how our children aren't ours. They are a loan to us from the Lord, and we're to give them back to his service. And many parents, and perhaps John and Alice, you might know this with your boys one day, might know the bittersweet experience of having a child who you know and love and have brought up, as it were, taken from you to perhaps a distant land to serve the Lord Jesus. Something so wonderful for him to serve Jesus, and yet so costly for you as well. Well, if that's going to happen, you're really going to need to know who God is and why it makes sense to give your most precious gifts to God. And we're going to see that now as we look back over this passage and see the extraordinary devotion which comes from a deep recognition. We're going to see what it was that Hannah knew about God that enabled her to make such a gift. Why was it so attractive to Hannah to give up her son? If you think about it, immediately in the hands of a man called Eli, who didn't have very much pastoral sensitivity, we saw that he'd completely misunderstood Hannah first time round. So she's giving her little toddler into the hands of a man who she, as we're going to see through this book, is not the most trustworthy. Well, she must have really understood who God was. I think there's a couple of hints in the verses. Have a look at verse 22. Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, after the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Before the Lord. Remember what Hannah had been doing in our last verses that we saw last week. She'd been praying to the Lord. She'd been in God's presence there in the tabernacle, praying to the Lord. And she knew what a privilege it was to pray and to be in God's presence. And so for her, yes, it was costly to lose her son, but actually it was the greatest privilege. She knew what a wonder it was to be able to give her son into the Lord's presence. Move to there. She knew the wonder of God's presence. You might think that if someone makes a great sacrifice for the Lord, they're a little bit mad. Maybe some of you even saw Alice and John joining this church and thought, they're a little bit mad. Well, they're not. And they haven't made huge sacrifices. They've made considerable sacrifices. But actually, when you understand what it's like to serve the God whom it's a great privilege to be in his presence, then actually, it's not such a great sacrifice after all. John Payton's father, that great missionary, his father knew what it was like to be in God's presence, praying. And actually, it was his father's prayers that spurred him on to give his, partly to give his life to the mission field. How much my father's prayers at this time impressed me, he's looking back to his childhood, I can never explain, nor could any stranger understand. When on his knees, and all of us kneeling round him in family prayers, he poured out his whole soul, we felt as if in the presence of the living Saviour and learned to know and love him as our divine friend. The greatest gift that any dad can give to their children is to lead them in prayer and to show them how wonderful God is. And Hannah knew how wonderful it was to be in God's presence. And so she was willing for Samuel to be in his presence. But also Hannah knew how wonderful God's plans were. As we zoom in on Hannah in this chapter, we see a woman who is barren. She's without children. She's not able to have children. And God wonderfully answers her prayers and enables her to have a child. God's plan for Hannah, and that's not necessarily God's plan for every barren woman or for every person with cancer or depression or whatever it might be. God's plans, the particular plans there, were for her to have a child. But God's plans are always good. God's plans are always good for us when we trust him and put them in his hands. And we see in this chapter just how good they were. But as we zoom out, we see how good they were even for the people of God at the time. It wasn't just great for Hannah to have this baby. It was great for the people to have this baby, because baby Samuel was going to lead the way to King David. And as we zoom out, we see God's plans all the more widely. Not just zooming out to Samuel, not just zooming out to David, but zooming out to King Jesus, the leader who brings us out of not the turmoil of a political situation, but the turmoil of our sin, which each one of us has committed. And each one of us will have to face God unforgiven unless we find a savior. And God has such a wonderful plan that he's willing to give up his son. Abraham or Hannah, they sacrificed their son. They were willing to give up their son. God the Father actually gave his son on the cross for us. As we zoom in on Hannah, or as we zoom out on the cross, we see a God who loves us so much that he's willing to die for us so that we might be forgiven and be friends with him. That is how good God is. There's so much more that could be dug out of this little passage, and in our small groups this week, we're going to be looking again at this passage. But let me end just with one question. The question for us is, have we seen how wonderful the God of the Bible is? This is just a tiny snapshot. And we'd encourage you to read the Bible for yourself. We've got some copies of Mark and Luke's Gospels on the way out. Please take one for free. Maybe you've never even looked into Christianity and you've seen God as a bit of a killjoy or as a bit of a brute. Whereas we see in this passage that he's such a good God that people are willing to give up their children for him. I hope that you found this story strangely moving, even though it's 3,000 years old. I hope that it's challenged your view of God. And I hope it's explained for those of you who aren't yet followers of Jesus why your friends are willing to give up their comfort and their holidays and their homes to serve the Lord Jesus, and even giving up their children in the sense of handing them over to the Lord for his plans in their lives. But many of us here this morning will be followers of Jesus. And don't we need to pray that we would grasp more clearly the wonder of how good God is? We'll never make sacrifices for God unless we see what he sacrificed for us. The more that we focus on the forgiveness that Jesus brings, the death of God's Son at the cross, the washing that we can receive when we put our trust in Jesus, the more we understand that, then sacrifices won't be sacrifices. There'll be no-brainers. Nothing will be too much to give up for the God who's given everything for us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we reflect on the dedication of Hannah in dedicating her son to your service, and as we reflect on your kindness and dedication, as it were, in dedicating your son for us, we pray that you would help us to grasp just a little bit more the height and depth and breadth and length of your love for us, that you were willing to sacrifice your son, that he might die on the cross so that we might not face the consequences of our sin, that he might take those consequences on his back, that we might be forgiven. Please, Lord, help each one of us to see more clearly your greatness, your wonder, your goodness. And please may this lead us to sacrifice not only our money and our family, but our whole lives in living sacrifices to you, knowing that no gift is too great to the one who gave everything for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.